Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn-Wardner, and I'm delighted in this episode to bring you a conversation with somebody very special. And that special person is Tom Farrelly Rogers. Now, I met Tom a couple of years ago and it was instant love. We share exactly the same pop culture references. I need only quote a movie from the late 90s and he is exactly in the same mental space as me, which makes him a delight to be around, talk to WhatsApp, to whatever. Tom, as I said, is a model. You may have seen him staring out at you from ad campaigns. He's used to walking down the catwalk, strutting his stuff. I want to use metaphors for modelling that don't sound cheesy. But he's also just a wonderful human being who is very open about mental health, and we have had private conversations about anxiety and depression, and I asked him if he would come on the show and have a conversation with me for your ears too about how to process things like anxiety attacks, how to understand depression and how to own all of that and turn it into a positive, which is the sort of conversation we've had over the course of the last couple of years, is seeing all of these things as a positive and not being weighed down by them, which is easy to do. We talk in this episode about so much, about deep thinking, about the ways in which you can safeguard your mental health. He's written a brilliant piece for Pop Sugar, which we talk about in the show, and I will put the links to that in the show notes. I also ask him about his beauty tips, because he was born in Sydney, he travels a lot, so he is the person to talk to about how to travel without looking like a dried up old husk at the end of it. We cover a lot in this episode, so I'm just going to get to it. I hope you enjoy it. Apologies in advance for my constantly slipping into Kath and Kim voice, but I have been watching Kath and Kim a lot recently and then was chatting to an Australian, and so I relaxed and it just kept slipping out of me. But I love Kath and Kim and I hope that you do too. All of the links to everything that we talk about, books, films, etc., will be in the show notes. But I feel like without any further ado, I should let you enjoy the wondrousness that is Tom Farrelly Rogers on The Emma Gunn Show.
Hello, testing, testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay, I think that's working.
I think it is. It's going to be really difficult not to just slip into Australian accent. I'm so sorry.
Don't! You can't.
Don't want to.
Do you want me to do a Liverpool accent, babe? Because I can.
It's not bad, actually.
Thank you so much, babe. It's better if I do it as a girl, because I went to a ball up in Liverpool and this girl kept on saying, come and collect your prize, when they did the raffle draw. And I can say chicken. Chicken.
You are good at your voice.
Chocolate.
Is very good.
I got the golden ticket. I'm going to meet Willy Wonka. Yeah.
I'm so impressed.
Thank you so much.
And yet you're not a voice artist. You're a model.
I am a model. A model, yeah, for my sins. I wasn't always a model. I actually started, my first job ever was in London when I was 18 or 19, and I was in PR. I was in like home entertainment PR. And so I did DVD releases and did like Mr. Bean's Holiday.
I know you did.
Yeah, I did. I did. I did like the Heroes release DVD of like season 1, and we did a party on top of the Gherkin. And then I went back to it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I had to do it.
The gherkin. I did it. I did it as well. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to Australia. Then I worked in an acting agent as like an assistant in the acting department. And then I went into fashion PR and then I quit because I hated it. And then I fell into modeling one day.
How does one fall into modeling? I mean, obviously.
I just tripped.
You tripped into it with your I tripped into set. Your gorgeous body and your handsome
thighs. A friend of mine who was a stylist, she had a model cancel last minute for an editorial shoot. And she was like, Tom, do you want to do it? And I was like, sure. And then that became like a main fashion editorial in like a magazine in Australia. And then from there, I just became like the, you know, supermodel of my time.
Supermodel of the world.
Of the world.
We will beat your ass, just to warn you.
I don't know. He'll scratch. No, he doesn't wear nails.
Oh, he does?
Sometimes. Not like Michelle, though. Michelle's always in nails. They talked about this on the What's the Tea podcast. Can I mention that here?
You can, of course.
Okay,
you can
cool.
Mention it.
Sorry.
Friends of the show. Because Michelle can't use the coin meters in LA.
Really?
There's quite, and I've heard someone else talk about it, because the coin meter, or that you put your card in to pay for parking, and apparently it's like difficult to get them out if you've got long nails.
Oh.
And so I think she carries around like mini tweezers. I can't remember the exact story.
I'm obsessed with long nails.
Mine are really long at the moment.
They are long.
But they need shaping and they need painting.
Do you ever like shellac them?
Always. That's how they grow long.
I had a client when I was in PR, and it was like a candle client, and the lady who like ran the business, she was like this Texan lady, and she was like tall and had like big red hair, and it was permed. We called her Big Red. And one day she just told us, once you go shellac, you never go back. And I just thought it was like, I literally like almost wet. I almost wet myself.
Were you
in
wearing
the meeting.
Depends?
I was wearing Depends. Thank God. Anyone for tennis? That's a Kath and Kim reference. We've been watching it.
Not together, but we do have. So, to explain why Tom is on the podcast.
Why am I here? I just fell into this.
Yes, you did. You literally, I was just in my living room and then this man walked past my window. Come in. I'm a podcaster, don't you know? Come speak into my orange muff. That's
what, hi.
That's what you call the thing that goes over the
what?
Microphone. That thing.
What microphone? I'm speaking into an orange muff.
Yes, I've got a blue muff. You've got the orange one today.
Yes, and I have a natural-coloured, dark blonde merkin as well.
Great.
It's just for free that you know that, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pleased to have understood that. So we met a couple of years ago now.
Yes.
And we met through friends, and then we ended up very quickly in a bar.
Uh-huh.
And I remember
drinking a lycée martini.
Yes.
Which is French for primary school, I believe.
A primary school martini. college.
College. Is that what a lychee?
And one of us mentioned RuPaul, and the rest is herstory.
The rest is herstory. And we just became fast friends because we both share a love of pop culture and also Drag Race.
But we also, it doesn't matter. Like, so, since I've met you, because this is the second time I've spent time with you.
Third time. Third time, including when we first met. Yes. So kind of the second time by default.
Yes.
Yeah.
We WhatsApped a lot. You've also lived in Australia for a spell.
Yeah, well, I travel a lot for work.
Yes.
I'm a traveller. Being a model, yes.
Being a supermodel.
Of the world.
But yes. But I can text Tom. And the good thing about having an international time zone friend.
Oh my God! No, I completely agree with you on this. I know you said it before we went on record, but I completely agree because the great thing about traveling a lot is that if I ever have like a light panic attack in the early hours of the morning, I've got people to talk to, and I think that's a blessing.
Yes,
it's a small price to pay for like the risk of getting deep vein thrombosis from flying so much.
Yes. Do you wear
all the time
socks?
I wear full leg compression socks.
Do you wear just a compression
to my upper
suit?
Thigh, and then I wear full torso Spanx, and then I wear spats on my arms.
Do you get carried onto the plane like a surfboard?
Yes.
And then just propped up.
I'm overhead luggage. That's how I save money on traveling so much.
like the idea of that.
Just hide me in a bathroom and lock it up.
But do you do the thing where you walk around the plane to stop yourself?
Yeah, no, constantly. Because I actually get, I never get, I'm not really retented, I like to say. I don't really retain water that much.
You're so lucky.
But on flights, my ankles swell up. I look like that photo of Kim Kardashian that was really popular during her first pregnancy and she wore like the plastic shoe. Yeah.
Really?
It gets really intense.
Sorry, oh, that was really unexpected.
A green countryman just drove past the window.
No, it was just, I didn't recognise those people. But now something makes sense, but I'll fill you in on that later. So you travel a lot. So, yes, we've had some very good, I think, excellent WhatsApp conversations.
Oh, my God, yeah.
In my wee small hours of the morning.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
during 40 Days of 40, you were credited as one of the four nice things.
Oh, my God,
I did.
I was. That was really, really lovely. And also, my sister was dying for
Amelia.
That. Amelia, which is actually a city in Italy. But also my sister, Amelia Farrelly Rogers. Hi, Meals. I just had to name check you because I knew that if you didn't get a mention, you'd have my guts for garters.
Yes. Big fan of the show.
Huge
Amelia.
Fan.
I love Amelia.
She's a huge fan of skincare. There's a store called Mecca Cosmetica in Australia, and it's kind of like Sephora.
Yeah.
And I think she's like, she has the most credit points out of anyone in her state because she shops there so much. Like, it's almost like, should she be proud of it or a little ashamed?
She should be proud. And the listeners of the Emma Gunn Show second that.
Yes.
So let's talk about middle of the night WhatsApp conversations, because
yes.
We bonded over things like RuPaul's Drag Race and the fact that we can, if you sat us down and said, what year did Britney Spears dance with the snake at the MTV VMAs?
2001.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was 2002.
No, it was 2001. Then there was a break. Then 2003 was the kiss, because Slave for You actually hadn't been released when she performed it, which was why it was such a huge deal.
It was a few years before September the 11th.
That was 2001.
Yeah. I thought the Satisfaction...
was it?
I thought the...
No, yes. Satisfaction was 2000. And then the year before was Baby One More Time, and that was 99.
Okay, so clearly we sometimes argue about our cultural references.
No, and also, like, there are certain pop singers, I don't know if you want to get into it on the podcast, but we do sometimes clash over people that Emma might think are a little bit affected, and I'm like, no, they're amazing! Don't burst my bubble!
Whose birthday?
Second birthday. That story. Jaws.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I find it too much. Just take the ponytail down. You're incredibly talented. She's unbelievably talented.
Unbelievably talented.
But I have a block with Ariana.
I love the ponytail, but I also love Chris Appleton. I think he's so handsome. You should get him on the podcast.
I bumped into him.
Did you?
Recently. We have a mutual friend.
Okay, yeah.
So ponytails. But I am coming around to Ariana, I have to admit. Carpool Karaoke was very good.
I haven't watched it yet. I came around to her years ago, but I dated someone and he loved Ariana. And I, just to be an awful person, pretended to hate her the whole time we were together. Because I was a very unhappy person back then. And then the moment we broke up, I was like, I think I like Ariana Grande. And ever since then, I've just been like the hugest fan. But my sister was the same.
I think she's super, super, super talented. Maybe I'm too old.
No, I don't think you're too old.
I think you're just being nice.
You've got great skin, Em.
Thank you. Well,
you're glowing.
You're in my office and you can see all the skincare.
Literally all of it.
I can. It's not organized very well.
It is packed to the rafters, everyone.
Amelia, you would go...
Amelia would go nuts in here.
I kind of want her to make the journey over just so I can go, look at everything.
Don't, because she will. She's already threatened to in the past.
So WhatsApp conversations, pop culture references.
Yes.
And we both love Drag Race.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Could you share with the listeners the two drag names that you came up with this afternoon?
Well, there's Je ne sais quoi. Mm-hmm. And that actually stems from a time when... one of my agents said je ne sais quoi in the office, and I thought it was so funny, and I like almost keeled over laughing because she's from Manchester and she has a slight accent. And then I just messaged her the day after from Brighton Pride, actually, just saying lol, je ne sais quoi. And she wrote back, no, she's just sent back like a screen grab, and she'd said to Siri, je ne sais quoi. And it just said like, je ne sais quoi.
Amazing.
And that's how that came about. But the other one was Martina Navratilova.
I like that.
Who's an alcoholic lesbian who plays sport.
I think she would get on very well with Katia Zamolodchikova.
Oh my God, they would be really, really good friends. Or they play mixed doubles tennis.
Or worst enemies.
They could face each other off in a Wimbledon spin-off. Can we do like drag con at Wimbledon?
I don't see why not.
Imagine all the puns we could have with like people hitting balls.
Oh, I mean, I would be exhausted.
Do you have a drag name, Em?
No.
I mean, it's a bit embarrassing for you. My official drag name is Agatha Ristie. And she's like an old gran. She just solves petty crime and gives out hand jobs in a club.
Oh, God.
Just bringing the class level down of the whole Emma Gunn's show.
Love it. I love it. So, but one of the other things that we are able to communicate about very freely.
Yes.
And when I beckoned you in from the street, it was literally within seconds. Haven't seen you in ages. And it was just, blah, blah, blah. We talk very freely about mental health.
We do.
Things like anxiety,
yeah.
Depression. Kim doesn't get depressed.
I don't think Kim from Kath and Kim gets depressed at all. I don't think she's capable. I was actually thinking about this when I was rewatching it through the lens of like Tom, who is almost 30 now. Mm-hmm. Yes, I just referred to myself in the third person.
You get one.
She's a very unconscious human being. Like, I don't think I could even pretend to be close to a Kim in a real adult relationship.
But does she live in the moment? And then don't all the self-help books say, just live in the present?
No, but she's kind of just... I don't think she's, like, conscious enough to live outside of any moment that she's in. She, like, is just really simple.
Yes.
Like, when she tries to teach Sharon how to date. And Sharon, God love her, is probably the deepest one in the whole show because she's the one who struggles with self-worth.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so when she's, like, taught to just, like, have hair extensions, acrylic nails, and, like, smoke a pine light and a fake tan for her date, and rather than being, like, someone who can relate to someone on a human level, she's just like, nah, you are, get stuffed. And it's like she can't connect with anyone because that's what Kim's told her to do. Anyway, that's a bit of a tangent.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Mm. That's the sort of things I think of on my day off while watching Kath and Kim.
When you're having a rest from supermodeling the world.
When I'm having a rest from being supermodel of the world, trademark RuPaul.
Yeah.
We've always talked about kind of like our mental health journeys
literally
and stuff
from
like that.
Day dot.
Yeah.
Which has been really brilliant. I thought it would make a nice conversation for the show because I think if somebody sees you staring out at them from a bus stop from the other side of a Dolce & Gabbana campaign, they might think, oh, Tom's life is perfect. He's handsome. He's gorgeous. He hangs out with designers and stuff. But it's not as...
No. But, like, weirdly, you know, and certain people in my life have kind of often asked me, like, you know, should you be sharing this sort of stuff? But for me, it's the most liberating thing I can do. Is share my mental health journey and talk about anxiety, talk about how I've, you know, had issues with depression in the past. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is something that I work on daily because it's just part of the way my brain works. I'm a very deep thinking, ruminative person. And so it's just something that I have to work on to not overthink things, to not get into negative thought patterns, to safeguard my mental health with things like exercise or Zoloft or whatever.
Or Drag Race.
Or Drag Race. Comedy is a big thing for me. If I can poke fun at my anxiety and if I can, it's almost like kind of like my astral body leaves my body and I see myself freaking out. I'm just like, this is so funny. Like, this is silly because I know that outside of the thought that's going on in my mind, nothing matters that much.
Mm.
Water off a duck's back, to quote Jinx Monsoon.
Were you always anxious? Because I think I've said to you before, I think I displayed signs of high anxiety.
Oh, massively.
When I was very, very young.
Same.
And because it was unchecked, it got bigger and then
Yes.
Hello, depression.
Yeah, yeah. I think there wasn't the awareness or the dialogue around it when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think my sisters, if anything arises, they can see now in their kids, oh, okay, he's displaying some signs of anxiety. I want to work with him on this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my parents didn't really know what to look for. I was growing up as a closeted gay man, as a kid, really.
Mm.
I was on constant high alert, always really hyper aware of how I was acting, how I was being perceived, how I was sitting.
Because you didn't want somebody to say, yeah, wait a minute, that looks...
I was hyper aware that I didn't want to be perceived as gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that really kickstarted my anxiety. And I didn't really know it at the time, but it's just like you get into these kind of you're in this zone of constantly monitoring everything you do. And there's so many different layers to your thought process because you're engaging with someone. You're also thinking about your surroundings. You're thinking about how you're being perceived, how you look. You're trying to make people laugh to distract away from questions they might want to ask you about if you're dating someone.
Mm.
And so I think that's kind of really what helped foster my anxiety growing up.
Mm.
But that, like, and the thing is as well, because I don't want it to be a kind of like, woe is Tom, he has anxiety thing. I'm actually grateful for my anxiety these days because it's created the person who I am. I can empathize with whatever someone is feeling because I've probably felt it in the past.
Yeah.
I've felt with every crayon in the coloring box.
to paraphrase
RuPaul. It's a gift and it's turned me into the person I am, and I feel like first of all, anxiety and depression can be treated like a wake-up call, like a kind of spiritual wake-up call. And so I think I'm very emotionally intelligent as a result of leaning into the discomfort, leaning into that fear and the pain and being like, okay, why do I feel like this? Why am I scared of this? And if you can just lean into that, take like 10 minutes a day to just let yourself feel it and see what kind of thoughts are going on, journal, writing really helped me. And it can really help you kind of become who you're meant to become, I think.
Because we've talked about this before, about the fact of viewing anxiety as like an early warning system.
Yes.
So the reason...
Well, I mean, like biologically, that's what it is.
Exactly.
Something's about to kill you. Worry. That's kind of... But we can't run. It's just an email from our boss that creeps us out. Or so, you know what I mean? It's like...
Oh, God, yeah.
The modern world is not... Anxiety isn't terribly useful in the modern world.
But... So, because I feel like my anxiety, the second I feel I'm in a situation now where I feel those old things, I'm like, right, I have to look around very, very quickly to see whether I can change either myself or the situation around me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel these things, or I have to leave it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, I would always stay in it, and actually... My anxiety would drive me to try and solve something or try and make somebody happier or try and do better.
Well, that's kind of like more of an emotional trigger.
Mm.
And you're noticing the triggers going off in your mind and you're changing your own narrative from, okay, how do I please people in this situation because I'm scared, to this isn't good for me and I don't have to fix anything here. I can just step out.
Yes.
And I think that's brilliant. That's where you're meant to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do see it as like a GPS / early warning, like hazard lights thing.
Totally, totally.
And it just, because I have to, because if you see it as a real negative, we were talking earlier about changing the vocabulary that you use.
Yes, it's very important. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So rather than saying my anxiety is something that would imply that I am, I remember somebody saying to me once, and even though at the time it was something they were saying from a place of love, and an observation that was meant with kindness of, I'm saying this to you because I think you need to do something about it. It was, I've never known anyone less able to cope with things.
Oh.
And it didn't come from a horrible place. It genuinely didn't. Oh. But it was basically, I didn't have the coping mechanisms to handle an email from a stressy client, or from like a colleague I didn't get on with.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it would all build up, and I, instead of just going, it's not a big deal, and moving on and going having a drink with my friends, I would go home and ruminate and do the overthinking.
Yeah.
How do I fix this?
How do I fix it? Why am I so terrible? Mm. Why am I such a fuck up? That kind of way of thinking. Yeah. But that's the thing, in terms of like changing the vocabulary around things, like just to make it really simple, if you screw up at work, or if you do something that is, you know, that has a negative consequence or whatever. For example, I am a fuck up, or I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a kind of, you're dictating who you are. One of them is you made a mistake.
One's a constant, one's fleeting.
Yeah. So like, you shouldn't say I am a fuck up. Mm-hmm. I'm such a mess. Like, cause that's just, you're kind of putting yourself down unnecessarily,
mm-hmm.
but it's okay to be like, oh, I fucked up. That's okay. It's just one thing, mm-hmm. and I can fix it if I need to, or I can just get over it. So what if I set my house on fire? Who cares? I hated that house anyway. And the people in it.
Oh, you are so outrageous. The Emma Gunn Show does not support arson.
Sorry, too much Trixie and Katya show.
Yes. Oh, I tweeted, I watched that the other day, and Trixie said that she hated coloured mascara.
Yeah.
And I tweeted saying, I hate it too. And she replied.
Oh, live made.
I know. And then a hater said, oh, Trixie, don't give her attention.
Oh my God.
I would
that
hate
hater
to
was me. That was
it
me.
Was, yes.
That was me.
Stop tweeting me.
I'm white anting your fame, your fame mongering.
That's what it was, fame mongering. Exactly what it was, fame mongering. I was baiting Trixie. I can't say it, fame mongering.
Mongering.
I went mongering. When did, so you, in terms of like the being hyper aware, you didn't want anybody to see through.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit like if you know when you go to a yoga class and and they say to you, relax your jaw, and you realise, oh, without realising, I've been clenching my jaw.
Yes.
Is that a bit what it's like?
Of absolutely.
Like, you just build that tension that
absolutely.
You then don't realise you have.
Well, but even not just that's a way of putting it, it's literally that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like even yesterday I was feeling nervous because I had to get like my hair coloured because it was like the colour was a bit weird or something. And it was just this whole drama that I'm not going to get into, but I was really nervous at like the salon, and every time the lady who was doing my hair spoke to me, my whole body would tense and I wouldn't even notice it. And then about 15 seconds after she stopped talking, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm like tensing my whole body, and I'd have to like force myself to relax. But it is that's the thing. It's like this, my friend talks about it being like buttons switching on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can visualize yourself switching off the buttons, it can help.
Ah.
So it's like you switch yourself off from high alert, and you can be like, there's nothing to be worried about here. Yeah.
And then you can make yourself safe by doing the journaling, or like taking 10 minutes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
When do you feel like things went from anxiety into slipping towards depression?
Oh my God. When I didn't know that I had anxiety. When left unchecked, anxiety will I'm not a professional, so take anything I say with several grains of salt, but I kind of feel like unchecked anxiety could lead to depression.
I concur. I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because you just get yourself into these habits that then become normal. They get worse, that becomes normal. They get worse again, all of a sudden it's depression and you can't get out of bed and you're just weeping all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're really dehydrated. You just drink Gatorade or Powerade or something.
Well, Tom's already told me off for drinking Pepsi Max this afternoon.
The quantities. No, Pepsi Max is fine. Well, Pepsi is fine because Britney did an ad for them.
Yeah, but so did Michael Jackson. I remember what happened there.
Well, he caught on fire.
Mm. Not great.
Well, Quincy Jones recently said he was horrible. Quincy Jones gave that really like nuts interview where he just like
amazing.
Spilled the beans on everything. It was the best thing I've ever read. It was crazy.
Might have to put that in the show notes, actually. I remember reading yes. it on a train, just thinking, oh,
this is Jats Crackers. He's going to town. It was like Jats. It was like he got some really bad health news, and he's like, that's it. I'm saying everything. / Touchwood, Quincy, I hope you're okay.
Because
I know he's a fan of the show, isn't he?
He's a big listener of
the show. He's an avid listener. A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah. Big fan of... Rashid is a big fan.
Really? Oh, my God. Oh.
I would like to get her on the show, though.
Rashida Jones?
Because I think she's really pretty and really funny.
Wait a minute.
Parks and Rec.
Is she his daughter?
Please. Tom.
No, are you... Wait. No, I'm deadly serious.
No, genuinely.
Should we pause this? I'm very embarrassed. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Wow.
Okay.
That was like the time that I found out that... Okay, no, wait. Do you know this?
Okay.
Maya Rudolph?
Yes, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yes. Is Minnie Riperton's daughter. Loving you.
Don't want to pay the royalties, mate. and my what is it? Whistle note was not. That's not gonna.
It was just a high pitched squeal. People would be like, "Someone's broken in."
No one's gonna recognize the song from the noise that I made earlier. Yes, I did know that, but she can sing, Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, she can. She's got a great voice.
But I only found that.
And then
recently.
Mariska Hargitay is what's her name? Jane Mansfield's daughter.
What's Mariska in?
Law and Order.
I don't watch Law and Order.
Neither do I. I just know things.
Just Google this.
This is the thing. There's so much room up in my brain for useless stuff. I'm just going to have, like, that's why I often just buffer. And there's like a little spinning wheel of death that comes in my pupil, and it's like a rainbow wheel spinning. I'm just like staring off into middle distance.
Right now.
Buffering. That's all I'll say.
Buffering's not a bad idea. I quite like that idea of just kind of...
I often say that when you can tell that someone's thinking, I'm like, they're buffering. I think it's quite fun.
I have spoken before about how with my anxiety, it was like life teaching me the same lesson over and over again. I'd get up in the same scenarios, like different place, but same shit, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have said before that it was like once I reached that point where it happened... And then I felt it happening for like a 10th time in my life. It was as if it was such a powerful, this again, now a warning.
Yeah.
That I, it was as if there was a power cut and I rebooted.
Yeah.
And when I rebooted and buffered, I came back online and I was incompatible with pretty much everything that I had previously known in my life. Why not? Do you want to WhatsApp before?
I'm sure you have, but I don't know if you've put it completely that way, and that's a really amazing way of putting it.
Well, it was aided by your buffering.
Thank you. You're welcome.
But I...
Cash, please. No, I'm just asking for cash. I'm stroking my palm.
This seems weird. No one's ever done that on a podcast. So, how did you identify your patterns? When was the point where you were like, this is something I now need to take action against?
Yeah, yeah. When I was 22, and it was after I came out, things weren't really sustainable. I was in a really bad place. I remember my sister talking to me, and she was like, you know, maybe you should go and see someone if you're really struggling. And I was like, you know what, I might. And so that's when I saw a psychologist for a bit, which really helped me. Just being able to talk to someone outside of your situation, I think can really help. And it's also because you can, especially if you are prone to being a people pleaser, like I've been in the past, you can just tell them anything and you don't have to worry about offending them because they're not part of your life. That really helped me. But yeah, it was kind of when things just got out of control and I couldn't handle day-to-day life, when I was like, I have to do something about this. And pretty much ever since then, actually ever since I was more like 26, it's been something that I know I need to just regularly check in with myself on and make sure I'm getting, like, you know, 3 or 4 times doing exercise a week and stuff like that, making sure I'm journaling every now and then, or making sure that I'm kind of just awake, living consciously, and not just getting by.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just exist.
Yeah, not just existing.
That makes so much
thriving,
sense.
Not surviving.
Are you talking about 30 going on 30 again?
Suddenly 30.
That's from...
What was it called here? Was it called 13 going on 30?
The Jennifer Garner movie. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Because in Australia it was called Suddenly 30.
Oh.
And in German it was called 30 übernachtet, which means 30 overnight.
Oh.
Ja, ich kann Deutsch. I speak German.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm almost fluent.
That's of no use on this podcast.
I thought you were about to say that makes so much sense. No, I was like,
it's of
why?
No use on this podcast because I can't understand you.
Well, that's racist.
No.
No, it's not. It's
I mean,
not.
It is ignorant that I don't know German in this scenario. But it's not. But good to know if ever we need the
It's
show.
The language of love.
I thought I was Italian.
I thought it was French.
I was about to say, I thought that was food.
The language of love is just a good tagliatelle.
or a what is it, a runny fondant chocolate thingamajig. You know, it looks like it's a solid chocolate.
A chocolate fountain?
No, no.
Oh.
It looks like a...
Oh, like a
chocolate sponge.
Is it called a chocolate fondant?
I've got no idea.
It's just called that. And and it's like gooey on the inside. Mm. They're heaven. They're really, really nice. But I personally prefer savoury. Are they undercooked?
Well, yeah, that's how the middle is soft.
What?
Well, it depends.
Is there raw egg in it?
No. It's normally like they've put, it's a different, it's not flour and the other things. It's like chocolate warm.
Yeah, wow. Unrelated, and you can tell that I don't interview people for a living from this terrible segue, but I recently watched Showgirls.
For the first time?
Ever. Yeah.
I mean, it's marvellous, but also there's a scene in it that's terrible.
The one where
that scene.
She's on Trey from Sex and the City. It's Charlotte's first husband in Sex and the City.
No, not that one. The scene with Andrew Carver in the hotel room with her friend. That's
unnecessary. Oh, yeah. So unnecessary.
Showgirls is amazing, though.
Oh, my God. It was
really good. I'll do your nails later.
It was really, really good.
Anyway, spiraling.
Yes, sorry, that's me.
When you say do anything daily, have you ever done anything like meditation? Do you use apps?
Okay,
like that?
You know what? I've tried meditation. I've tried meditation apps. Honestly, meditation can sometimes make it worse for me.
Really?
Yeah, because it can just highlight, I can kind of like self-immolate and I'll be like, clear your mind. And then a thought will be like, did I leave the washing on? And do I need to make my bed? And I'll just be like, Tom, you idiot, stop thinking. Why are you so stupid? And then it just kind of makes it worse. So what I find is better for me, something that's like kind of like meditation for me, is washing up. I love washing dishes. Which sounds weird. Or I'll just like go for a walk and listen to music. And that for me is quite therapeutic because it's like
getting out in nature.
Yeah. Getting out in nature or just being in like in motion can help with a kind of, with a thought pattern. It can get you out of it. Or even just like seeing a friend, doing something social, not allowing yourself to isolate yourself too much.
Yes.
And I feel like that can be a danger for me because I do love my alone time, but then sometimes I can just get a bit carried away and then all of a sudden I've been indoors for 8 years and I'm actually 47.
It's funny you should say that because it's August. We are recording this in August.
And we started recording it in January.
and this month is notorious. In any business is notoriously quiet.
Yes.
Because it's when people go on holiday. I'm self-employed. I put out a weekly podcast and I was, among other things that aren't.
Do you go on a hiatus over summer?
Lots of people do, but I didn't. But I was at a work dinner about 4 or 5 weeks ago and somebody really just flippantly said, well, everyone's pre-done their content for August and we're all going to like down tools. And I literally
just did like, same.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just like, yeah, of course. Sure.
See, that is an anxious person's response because if we weren't anxious and way too self-aware, or like if we could like shed some self-awareness, we'd be like, oh, I haven't done that.
No. Well, what happened was, is I went, and then about 5 minutes later, I like took one of them to one side.
I don't know why I lied before. I routinely do that.
I haven't got any podcasts backed up. Sometimes I've got like six podcasts pre-recorded because people, like eight people can record in a very short space of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Close together. And so it's like, yeah, have you? But at this particular moment in time, I didn't have a podcast for that weekend. And I was like, and it made me literally panic. And so what I did is I isolated myself here. And I was like, right, focus, work. I've got my dream board that you're now seeing with all the people that I want to get on the podcast.
Ooh.
And I
note my name's absence.
Because I took you off when we secured
it's a
this
good project. Recovery, yeah. Emma.
And and I did get to the point where I did 8 days in a row without actually seeing a friend.
See that's
just
yeah.
And I knew I was like, you are an idiot.
Self care.
Mm.
Yeah. You gotta. That's something that like my friends who are like life naturals. Sarah Wilson refers to people who just don't struggle with anxiety or like thinking too much or rumination as life naturals.
Oh, I love her
book is incredible. Do you have it?
I've got two copies of it in the other room.
Mm. It's called First We Make the Beast Beautiful. I think it's a really good book. Mm. And my friends who are life naturals will just be like, just. Work on balance.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my God, yes, balance. Because I feel like I can just swing wildly from like, I want to be really social to I just want to, you know, stay in my room and watch Bridget Jones's Diary and Under the Tuscan Sun constantly forever.
And Call Me By Your Name, which took you a while to watch.
I only just watched it 2 weeks ago and I sobbed. Like I was dehydrated. I cried so much. I actually, the first time I watched Love, Simon...
I haven't seen that yet.
I am convinced I cried so much that I pulled a muscle in my eye because the next day I had an ocular migraine and was shockingly dehydrated. I'm a very emotional person.
but you and I would sob at a Hilary Duff movie.
Oh my God, I sob at ads.
What kind of ads?
There was this ad in Australia when I was like 12. And it was like a public education ad. And it was like these, you know, this kid going to school and then his mum picking him up. And I used to cry every time it was on TV. There are several ads that come on that I'm just like, that just makes me emotional.
I watched Paddington 2 the other day. Again, I've seen it before. I watched Paddington 2 the other day on a Sunday evening. And the end of it absolutely got me. And 2 days later, my neighbour said, Emma, were you all right the other night? I heard you cry.
No! Are you serious?
But it was like a proper, it was a hormonal premenstrual, like, moan cry.
See, okay, this is the thing, is I don't know how women can cope with that. That's like, I was at the gym once, and someone said, I was being really lazy because I just didn't really want to be there. And the person I was training with was like, you're doing a girl way. And I was like, excuse me. And I like started like yelling at them in front of everyone. I was like, this is like, listen, a girl weight would be much more than this because do you know what they go through? They go through fucking childbirth, dude. Like they create life. What the hell do you do? Nothing. And this is a boy weight. And I like went all hysterical and stuff.
You have an incredible range.
I do have
Your
an incredible
voice is
range.
Incredible.
I do. Yeah, I know I do.
That was quite high pitched. I wasn't expecting that to come
Listen,
out.
Listen, I can get very shrill. I call it shrillience because it's brilliant shrillness.
You have good humour.
Thank you.
Which is humour.
Thank you.
And we talked about the things that we would discuss on this show, many and varied. And one of them is LGBT issues.
Yes.
And you said it wouldn't be...
For example, what does it stand for? I don't know. I'm kidding.
War. No, what is it
War.
Good for? No, sorry.
War
the way
two.
You said what does it stand for, it reminded me of that song. War. War. What is
no,
good
it
for?
Royalties, Emma.
Sure.
Stop.
LGBT is... So, yeah, why should there be more humour? Humour.
Oh, how do you mean? I'm confused now.
Well, you said earlier, more humour in LGBT issues.
Oh, okay, yeah, I feel like, it's a really tricky thing to talk about because I feel like there's a lot of red tape around things at the moment
mm-hmm.
and there are a lot of things that you're not allowed to say.
Yes.
And I think because of social media, bless its heart, we live in an exceedingly polarized society, mm-hmm. where you are either all the way down one end or all the way down another, and ne'er the twain shall meet,
mm-hmm.
I think. And I think social media makes it worse because the algorithms are such that you will only ever see people you agree with.
Yes.
And so if you read something that someone said and it's something you don't agree with, you're just like, oh my God, who is this insane person? How can they possibly think that?
Mm.
And so rather than compassion and education, we attack.
Mm.
And I think it's so bizarre. And we see it in politics, how there's like really, really polarized right and left at the moment. The left can't see how there can be any good in the right. The right can't see how there can be any good in the left. And it's really, really bad. And I think it's kind of bled in, it's bled into kind of mainstream society and LGBTQIA society.
Remind me what they stand for again.
The last three are queer, intersex, and ally. And the first four are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans.
What does intersex mean?
I don't know. I don't know, somewhere between the two, I guess.
What's cisgender?
Cisgender. Okay, cisgender. Now, Cisgender That Walk is a song by RuPaul. It's not. I'm kidding. Cisgender, it means that you identify as the gender you were born with.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of feel like it's like a... I personally am like, do I have to know this?
Mm.
Do I have to know this? Am I cisgender? And I don't know if I'm cisgender because I'm a gay man, but then I'm thinking, wait a minute, why am I sexualizing gender? Because this is an issue I have with people sexualizing trans,
because mm-hmm.
trans is about gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, but if they transition into a girl, are they going to date boys now? And it's like, well, I don't know.
It's about gender,
it's about gender identity. And so I don't know. The thing is, it's so complicated. And as humans, we really need to try and understand everything and be like, but if you're a guy and you're like, guys, what? So you fit into the G. And then, you know, if, you know, you decide to just have a dabble, you might be a B. Or if you decide that, you know, you're a Martini Navratilova style drag queen, then you're an L. Or if you are like, I'm, you know, famed Olympian Bruce Jenner, but I don't identify as Bruce Jenner. I think I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to transition to Caitlyn Jenner. Then you're a T. But it's like we are so varied and we are so different. Literally everyone has a different fingerprint.
Mm.
And I do believe that this...
Literally.
And I do think that a sneeze, as a sidebar, is an audio fingerprint because everyone has a different sneeze.
Oh, now, interesting you say this.
Mm.
Years ago, I was in a train carriage uh-huh. on my way back to my family home.
Did you hear your twin sneeze?
No, I don't have a twin.
No, but like your twin sneeze?
No.
Okay.
I heard a sneeze and I just went, Gavin? And my brother was in the same carriage.
No!
Yes, a crowded commuter train. We hadn't seen each other.
That is crazy.
And I recognised him from his sneeze.
See, that's the thing. My mum's is... And my dad's is whoosh. But this is what terrifies me. And again, I think way too much about this. But mine changes. And I'm like, am I just, you know, a wandering traveler on the sea of time without a defined identity? Or is it just that I think about it and I process how I'm going to sneeze at any given time?
Oh, yes. So I sneeze differently in company than I do by myself.
Sometimes if I'm walking down the street and I get a big sneeze up and I'll do two in a row, it's so much fun. And I just scream it out. And I like my whole body, like I jump off the footpath like a cat who's been scared.
I don't have small sneezes. I'm not somebody who just does a sort of hiccup of a sneeze.
Yeah.
They're always really, really big.
Yeah.
And I remember once describing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Think it is the orgasm of the face. Because it's yes. So big and loud.
Yes. Well, I think there's something in sneezing as a kind of like metaphor for life. Because my dad told me recently, before I came back to London, because I'm from Sydney originally, he told me... your mother, when I first, my mum, when she first met my dad, would do one of those sneezes that's like, like that. And now she does like a full, ach! And so I feel like finding the love of her life liberated her sneeze. It liberated her.
Mm.
It liberated her head orgasm, which I don't want to really think about.
Don't think about that. I come from a family of very loud sneezes. And my dad has hay fever. And sometimes it's like, if he's on a roll, you do have to move away. And my mum, I swear, will break glass one day.
Do you think hay fever comes and goes from people's lives?
I think it comes, but I don't think it goes.
Because I never had hay fever. Then when I moved here,
mm-hmm.
when I was 18, 19, I got hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
And... since I came back this year, and I came back in like at the towards the end of June, I haven't had hay fever once. And a lot of my friends were having hay fever. Has it left me? Does that mean I'm going to be
cured
from my IBS as well?
It means that you need to...
Yes, I am an IBS survivor.
What's your... I was about to ask, what's your worst IBS?
IBS story? Oh my god!
I once had to run through Bloomingdale's because I was in New York and I'd eaten from one of those, you know, those shops where they just have all the food, like all the different international cuisine, and I was like, yeah, boy, and just put all of them together and ate them. And then
onion.
15 minutes later, I once had to run through
that
Bloomingdale's.
That is quick.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, and ran up and really long queue, and I just had to announce very loudly that if I wasn't fast tracked to the front to the next cubicle, that I was going to soil myself.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I don't want to get into it too much because this is a family podcast, but
sure.
Just use your imagination.
Okay, done.
I am a gay man and you know, things can happen sometimes if you've got IBS. I'm not dating at the moment.
You will. I don't know why, I just thought let's talk about Alyssa Edwards and the fact she's got a Netflix show.
She's got a Netflix show coming out. Is it going to be out here as well? I mean, if they're Netflix projects, they usually get launched globally. I'm unbelievably excited by. I kind of feel like she might be one of my all-time favourites. Alaska is no longer an all-time favourite.
Oh.
Yeah. Too contrived. I kind of feel like she's very contrived and very, very maintained and held. I like the messy excitement of Katya.
Unpredictability.
The unpredictability. And it's just like this, it's unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's slightly more, it's less curated, so I feel like it's more authentic,
mm-hmm.
which makes no sense because Alaska is curated and amazing and just as authentic. But I vibe more with Katya and Trixie at the moment. And I mean, Alyssa is just a nut job.
Well, also, Katya is very open about the fact that she struggles with addiction and anxiety.
Mm.
And mental health issues. Mm. And I think that's why when I went to Drag World, I think that's why she had the longest queue. Because I think, as we've discovered, bonding over our own mental health stories, and when I've done other podcasts with people who've been open about it, it opens up a really important dialogue and it makes people feel less alone.
Yeah.
And it makes them feel less isolated to know that actually...
Totally.
We we've all been guilty of not leaving the house and just binge-watching Netflix and feeling sad.
Or just having a bit of a weep for no reason on the toilet one day. Do you know, one of my lowest moments was when... This is actually a funny story. One of my lowest moments was when I was in London last year, the beginning of last year. I hated where I was living. It was like an awful, awful house. And I didn't like any of the people there apart from one girl who I'm now really good friends with.
Wasn't it like super chic and in a very up-and-coming area?
No, it was in like Dalston.
Oh, well, that's what I meant by up-and-coming.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry.
I think you mean De Beauvoir, babe.
Mine was like, I think there's a yoga studio near you.
I mean, no, it was like a beautiful, beautiful house, but it was just like filled with awful people, basically, yeah. Apart from my one friend, Sarah, whose birthday it is on Sunday or today, tomorrow.
Now.
No, I've got to go. And I was really sick. I had tonsillitis and the doctors was shut on the weekend, so I couldn't go to the doctor.
Yeah, tonsillitis.
And I didn't have the strength to go all the way to a hospital to get drugs. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the toilet and was just doing a sit-down wee because I didn't have enough energy to do a standing wee in my Hufflepuff bathrobe, and which I've since lost. And then the heated towel rack fell off its hinges, and it was turned on, so it was really hot. It fell off its hinges and hit me in the face.
Not the face.
I know. My beautiful face. And so I had to, like, hold it, burning my hands and putting it back on the thing. And I just remember sitting there just like weeping, like these kind of like dry heaving sobs of like, it was like this awful experience. Like in the moment, I couldn't see how pathetic and hilarious it was. Like I was just full of self-pity. And I remember going to bed that night being like, God, I know I don't talk to you that much, but I just want to say, if this is going to be it for my life, just take me in my sleep. If my life is just more or less going to be like this, just take me in my sleep. But if it's not, and if I'm going to get better from tonsillitis, this is how dramatic I can be. Mm-hmm. Then I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll like, you know, do a good job.
I promise I'll be better.
I promise I'll be better. And I won't dwell on toilet gate. I'll find the humor in it. I'll find the humor in it. Cause it was quite humorous, really. When you think about it.
Look back on those things and find them funny.
I think it's one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me because it's so nonsensical and so ridiculous.
The thing that upsets
and they're my favorite things.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing that makes me, the thing I am most upset about when I hear that story is the fact that you lost the Hufflepuff dressing gown.
Yeah.
How do you lose a Hufflepuff dressing gown?
I threw it out. Oh. It was a gift from an ex and I was just like, I don't want, it was in one of my dramatic moments where I was like, just having like an energetic cleanse of my belongings. And I was like, I don't want this Hufflepuff bathrobe from a guy who broke my heart.
That makes sense. You should definitely restock the Gryffindor.
But I'm like cool with him now, so it's like I didn't need to throw it out. I actually regret throwing it out. I don't regret it. It was all part of the journey. Apparently, it turns out they're really expensive. They're like 90 quid.
Well, who's the fool now, Tom?
Or me. Or him for buying it.
Speaking of which, how do you feel about regrets?
Regrets?
Because you just said...
I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. That's sorry, royalties, Frank Sinatra, sauce, babe.
I don't want his estate coming up to me.
Nance. Is Nancy still around? Because you know what she'll do? You know what she'll do? She'll shoot you. Because she had that song about bang, bang, shot you down.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah.
Sorry, that didn't really land, that one, did it?
It's fine. You can't win them all, Tom. You can't win them all.
I think we can look back and be like, oh God, I wish that hadn't happened. Or I wish I hadn't. I think the best way to look at it is I wish I hadn't had to learn that lesson.
Yes.
But everything that happens to you, every fuck up you do, it's a lesson you have to learn. Mm. And it's like we were saying before, if you don't learn the lesson, the universe will just send you louder and louder and less subtle lessons until you get the picture. And so in terms of regrets, I don't believe in the concept of a regret. I think it's all just a learning experience.
And also regrets.
And also like there's terrible, like, you know, bad stuff happens to everyone. Mm. And I don't want to dismiss anyone's journey, but like, you know, the bad things that have happened to me in my past have created who I am today, and I love who I am today. And so I can look back and say, I'm grateful in a way for that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at peace with everything. I don't look back with and kind of, I don't regret anything.
Mm. Because there's no point in it.
Yeah, and I would have had to learn everything at some stage anyway.
And I've said to you before, I think that you've had all of these realizations 10 years before I had them. And one of the things the stick that I used to beat myself with was, you're nearly 40 and you've been screwing up for nearly 40 years. And so I look at you and I think, great, your 30s are fantastic.
Yeah, but mine is like, I'm almost 30 and I've been screwing up the whole time. And then I'm like, actually, because I was thinking about this the other day in my little like, who am I moment.
Is that a Zoolander?
It was. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding. I should get money and a prize. Every time I get it.
I'll give you a signed headshot.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes just hand them out at Liverpool Street. Hi, have one. Here you go. Who do you want me to make it out to?
I'd love it if you did that.
Just by like the ticket barrier. And I'm like, look at the queue for my meet and greet. Wow, it's huge. Oh, now I don't know what I was talking about.
It wasn't regrets because we moved on from regrets. That's your fault for being silly.
Sorry, I can't help myself.
We'll just talk about something else. I asked you about your jet lag tips, actually.
Oh, okay.
Since we're surrounded by beauty products in my office.
First of all,
is there anything, by the way, that you've seen around
I can't
me?
See that far.
Oh, have you got...
I can't. I have terrible eyesight. I've had glasses since I was like... four.
And yet you're not wearing them.
No, because I've become so used to flying blind because I lost my glasses and didn't have them for a year. I've got glasses
now.
Did
you lose them or did you throw them away?
I lost them.
Fine.
No, I genuinely lost them.
Good.
But then the good people of Sunglass Hut did gift me glasses. Thank you very much, Sunglass Hut. Got that in, thank God.
Prescription sunnies.
My keep. Prescription sunglasses and optical. Yeah, Ray-Ban. They're really, really nice. I love them. So I can't really see that far. But in terms of jet lag,
mm-hmm.
I love any kind of hydrating mask.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Thomas Roth does really good under eye patches.
Yes.
There are these green ones that are like...
algae.
They're just I'm obsessed with them. I think they're really, really good. And I don't know if it does that much. It just boosts my confidence.
That's the thing. I was on a podcast the other day. I was on Full Coverage. My friend Lindsay, yep. Whose sweets you're sitting next to. For regular listeners of the show, Lindsay Kalk and I went out recently and she said, oh, could you put this bag in your bag? And she was flying to LA the next day and it had these sweets that she bought as a gift for someone. So they're sitting in my
and
office.
Emma stole them.
Stole them. But they are, you can testify, they're uneaten.
They are uneaten and they are wrapped. See? Miscellaneous That's, noise proving.
That is the bag.
Yes, we'll take a photo.
And
of
I was
it.
Saying that lip pumping products, it's not necessarily that lip plumping products work. It's that if you never wear hats and then you go out one day wearing a hat, you think everybody is looking at you in your hat. But they're not.
Uh-huh.
So when you wear lip plumping products, you are very aware because of the tingle that you are wearing a lip plumping product. So you think everyone else is seeing your lips and so you hold your lips differently.
Does it plump your lips? Not as much as filler.
Not as much as that filler. Do you want filler?
Oh my God, I want everything.
Would you do what Alaska did on Drag Race and just...
Not quite that. I wouldn't go like full Adore Delano on it. I just think that's a bit ridiculous. But I mean, like, I'd try anything once. You can have it broken down if you want, can't you?
Yeah, I just think with your face, like, you have to...
I mean, I would never do anything while I'm modelling. And then when I stop modeling, I'm going to go full like Manfred Thierry Mugler and go like nuts with my face and just go on roids. And I'm not going to do that.
No.
But I mean, it would be hilarious if I just did like a concept album and like transformed myself into Bane from Batman.
Which is Thierry Mugler.
Like,
yes. I went to a party that he threw on the Seine once.
What?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
For a fragrance called Womanity.
Womanity, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is wild.
And I Google imaged him before I got to the party and I was like, oh.
He is nuts.
I mean, very talented genius, man.
Well, that's the thing, talented genius, but also anyone who is a talented genius in the 90s is going to be like three sheets to the wind, yeah. Nuts.
All colours of it.
Yeah.
Do you read lots when you're travelling, or do you just gorge on box sets?
No, I read a lot. I love reading. I love books.
What book are you reading right now?
I'm reading the book that Love, Simon is based on. And it's good, but I'm also just like not really feeling the romance vibe at the moment. So I'm just like, ugh, this again. But I read this amazing book called Less. And I can't remember who it's by, but it won a Pulitzer. And it's incredible. It's like such a good book. At the end, I was sobbing. And it was, and it's also just, it was really nice because it was a gay lead.
Oh.
And it wasn't just like,
I thought when you said that, I thought it was all one word, gay lead.
A gay lead.
A gay lead.
Yeah, it's like a leash, like a dog, like a, no, like a lead character who happened to be gay. And my best friend, I call her Gran, but her name's Pip. She bought me the book because she was like, oh my God, it's a gay lead. Because she was, and then she was talking to the sales assistant at like the bookstore. And she was like, it's just so nice that it's not, yeah.
Andrew Sean Greer, literally it says on the website that you can buy books from called Amazon, says Les, winner of the Pulitzer Prize.
Pulitzer Prize!
It's even in the description.
Yeah, so my friend said to the like lady at the bookshop, she was like, it's so nice that it's just not a gay subplot anymore. And she was like, yes, and he doesn't die. Because often in books, they would just kill off the gay character. I know, right?
Interesting. I was very glad that nobody died in Call Me By Your Name.
I mean, you know, the peach got a bit of a rough go, but let's not go into that here. This is a family podcast.
poor What's-His-Chops, who for the rest of time is going to just have people make peach jokes at him.
Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, he should call him Captain Kim. Oh, it's that Timothée Chalamet.
Timothée Epinoy. Timothée.
And the funny thing about Call Me By Your Name, we have to mention it, mm-hmm. is that you are a doppelganger Sir Armie Hammer.
Has he been knighted?
I've knighted him. Which it sort of, they could have saved a lot of money on The Social Network with CGI when he.
Oh my King. God, yes.
Has no one ever said that to you before?
They would have had to film every scene at least twice.
Yes.
It could have been me. It
could have been you.
Oh my God.
Are you the same height?
Okay, because.
He's a wee bit taller than you.
I think he's a wee bit taller than me.
Because he's like a.
But also, I was actually a rower.
What? And
yes. You heard it here first. That's an exclusive for the Emma Gunn Show.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting.
Finally, something I can use.
4 hours later, it's exclusive.
I get that I look like him a lot, like mm-hmm. every shoot I do. I also always get Ryan Gosling. Domenico Dolce would call me. He was like, you are Ryan Gosling, eh? And would say that. He'd be like, a golden boy, eh? And he would always call me that and like call me Ryan Gosling. So, but I never thought I looked like Ryan Gosling. I thought he looked like a potato with eyes. But is apparently a lovely guy. And so, I mean, it's a very flattering comparaison, mm-hmm. as the French might say.
It's that funny thing of I met you, then I watched Call Me By Your Name, didn't think anything of it.
Uh-huh.
And then...
A lot of people said they found it unnerving.
A lot was interacting with you. And then one day I saw a picture and was like, oh my goodness. And it was a very late, it was Agatha Christie putting it together very...
Agatha Christie solving the puzzle!
But very slowly, like, oh yeah! Literally, just like, oh, that doesn't... But you do, yeah, and I've seen it since.
We have similar mannerisms. That's the, like, I don't think I look like a lot of people, but with Armie, I totally get the comparison because we do look very alike. And we even have similar mannerisms. Like, we kind of move around in the same way and have... I don't know, it's very strange. But
married,
yeah, like,
to the same woman, my little...
I know, in fact... Actually, no, I have no face to pull off. I am him. I leave a secret gay double life. my claim to fame is that he actually recorded a video once saying hi to me when he was in Milan at the fashion shows.
But your claim to stupidity is that you didn't save that video.
I didn't save the video, and I was also meant to be there.
Explain to the listeners, if you don't mind, why you weren't there.
I decided, instead of going to an after party for Ferragamo, I think it was, mm-hmm. after my show that I did for Dolce & Gabbana, I decided instead to have a shower for half an hour with like three glasses of wine in my shower because there was like a marble bench. And so I just really lushed out and had one of those showers where you're like playing like, you know, I'm every woman. Oh, wait, no, sorry. I can't. Royalties. Damn it.
It's fine. It's fine.
You know, we're just listening to like empowering music and drinking wine. Then I had a nap and I could have met my doppelganger.
Do you think it's better that you didn't? It could have been like Back to the Future too, and they go back and they...
Yes. But what if it was like a big business type situation?
Is that Bette Midler?
With Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin. And it turns out we were separated at birth. And I'm like the one who got stuck in the as like a country hick. Because I am from a semi-rural area because I grew up in a pet hotel.
And when you told me that for the first time, I did say, that is the storyline of a Hilary Duff movie.
Yeah.
It so is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grew up in a pet motel.
Uh-huh.
And goes on to become an international supermodel.
Male model. It is a Hilary Duff movie. It's the Hilary Duff story. And they got really bad capped teeth and then had them fixed. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
There was like a 1 year period when she was very like rail thin. It was when everyone was working with Rachel Zoe.
Right, okay.
It was Rachel Zoe's heyday and she was very thin and had huge teeth because she chipped them on a microphone.
I can, I didn't do this particular shoot, but I was involved semi on the periphery of a shoot with Hilary Duff when she came over to London.
Oh my God.
And I saw her.
I love her.
And my comment is so funny you say that because my comment was, oh my goodness, her teeth are too big for her head. And then I've looked at her since and I thought her teeth have shrunk, but obviously.
No, she just got them redone. No, because it was like an emergency situation because she was like, performing and singing live.
Yeah, no, they were, and you're right, she was tiny.
Yeah.
She
was very, very thin. It was when like Lindsay was really thin.
Mm. Well, I have my own issues with food that I've talked about and like my weight and stuff that I've talked about in this podcast. And I was, she's not on the dream list, but I was thinking the other day, I'm obsessed with Erin Foster on Instagram.
Oh, did you ever watch her series?
Yes, I obviously binge watched the entire thing.
Same, I watched it in 2 days.
Because it's only like 22 minutes.
Yeah, it's easy.
And Sarah Foster
uh-huh.
eats all the time uh-huh. and yet has the figure of a supermodel that has two children.
How do you know she eats all the time?
Because Erin is always videoing her just like eating like big bowls of guacamole and burgers, and I don't know whether they stage it, so that's one of my questions. But it got me thinking about Nicole Richie because they're very good friends with Nicole Richie, and I just was thinking about if there was, and I was thinking stupidly, like if I could only ask certain celebrities just one question, what would my question be? So it was like, what would my one question be to Oprah? What would my one question be to Nicole?
What would your one question be to Oprah?
Oh, I don't know that. Can we come back to that?
Yeah, yeah.
But my one question to Nicole Richie would be, how have you kept the weight off?
See, that's... I believe
her... Which is unhealthy. It's projecting.
No, but I believe her when she says that she was just... Like, she'd just gotten out of rehab for, like, getting a DUI when she had heroin in the car.
Was that the Simple Life years when she was with...
Yeah, when she first came on the scene, she was like, I was just, like, overweight because I'd been in rehab and I was kicking a drug habit.
Oh, I see.
I kind of feel like she looks, to me, she looks healthy.
Mm.
And I think she is very petite. But it's also like when you live in a place where there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, health in inverted commas and to a greater extent, aesthetic health.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a kind of like aesthetic that you have to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're always going to be. You know, you're fit and healthy and happy is going to be very different to like other places.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I've done shoots with
even people. Like New York. People look different in New York. Like everyone looks different from each other in New York. Whereas in LA, I feel like everyone kind of looks kind of the same. It's a very homogenized face
Great
type
word.
These days.
Great word. In
do you that's my buzzword. Homogenized beauty is my buzz phrase. And it's like the whole thing with like Love Island. Love Island is the perfect example. Homogenite, they all have the same face.
I am going to sue you.
Can you do, for the rights to that?
No, we have the same Brit. This is really scary. About 4 or 5 times today.
This keeps happening with Emma and I. We both keep on like...
I've got my computer open. I have a pitch on my in my Google Drive, which is a beauty feature called Homogenized Beauty.
No!
I actually shit you not. And it's all about the fact that everyone's making their faces look the same with contour. And it's an old pitch.
But we've moved beyond makeup. It's filler now. Mm. It's like literally we're just architecting our faces to be, which is not a word, sorry, to all look the same. It's bizarre.
Mm.
And it ages people.
Oh.
Like, the bizarre thing is, all the girls on Love Island looked about 35. Like 15 years older than they are. Because they're all, like, young 20s.
Well, there's that weird thing with, I did a podcast ages ago with Terry White, who's the editor of Empire, but also an incredible woman.
Mm.
And we were talking about surgeries and people having fillers and, like, thread lifts. And so facelifts that aren't facelifts and all the
thread lift gives me the absolute willies.
Have you watched Real Housewives of Cheshire where they do it live on? No. No, no one is doing
it's
that.
So
to my
intense.
Face. It's intense. And then there's lots of little lifts that basically they're like, instead of having the full yank, you know, like knee in the back, pull the entire face.
No one does that now though, right?
No, you can still get those. But there's like all these little sort of other things that are slightly cleverer that like pick up a muscle using, anyway. There was this thing where for a while you could look at somebody and say, how old are they? And you would be like, well, they're over 25 and they're under 65 because they looked kind of, the work that they were having was making them look somewhere in between that bracket.
There's this really, really good Saturday Night Live sketch, which is a parody on Erica Jane. And it's, but it's like Larry David is like her husband and she's his
Mr.
new
Girardi.
Wife. And he's like, she's gay famous. And she's like performing and, you know, it's just hilarious. But he's like, hey, she won't tell me how old she is. I think she's either 18 or 55, but I can't figure it out.
Yeah, totally. But then what's happening is that younger women, and there's a big thing at the moment because one of the high street stores here are working with like the best people they could be working with, but to offer Botox in high street stores.
Who?
Superdrug.
Holy moly.
But if you think about the fact that at least that's regulated and at least the people, they're getting the best training.
That's the most important thing, yeah.
But there is this thing, you're absolutely right. I walk down the high street and you look at girls and they're either between like 15 and 18 or like 15 and 19, but they look 30.
Mm.
Because they've done every single layer of Instagram makeup.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. The other vibe I get, and this might be taking it a little bit too far and might get a bit of a downer vibe, but I do kind of feel like, in the Roman Empire, like they would towards the end when like they were just kind of like having the best time in Rome, but everywhere else was kind of like you could tell it was the end of days and like things were about to crumbling down. They'd do ridiculous shit. Like they'd have a vomit bucket at feasts so they could vomit and then eat more.
Oh my God, like the Hunger Games.
Yeah, no, exactly like that. And I get an end of days vibe with Western society at the moment because it's just so ridiculous. And there's such an importance placed on aesthetic. And like, and it's either like maybe we're just kind of honing the body to be as optimal as possible by doing like vitamin IV drips or like
cryotherapy. I did that the other day.
Oh, I want to try it.
Yeah.
Or it's just we're just distracting ourselves from the fact that like life is confusing and why are we here? So let's just get filler to have more of a full cheek because I don't really want to think about that right now.
This is going to get really sensitive now, but I think it's really weird that on a planet you have these incredible hotels, like luxury hotels where you can kind of like, you know, have a Ferrari. I'm basically talking about Fast and the Furious here. You know, like these incredibly opulent, you can have incredible opulence on the same planet where you have
total
famine.
And utter poverty. And famine, yeah.
And for a while, I guess it's been at arm's length, but I know lots of my friends feel like this about things at the moment. You walk around London and it is absolutely unavoidable that there are more homeless people in London than there used to be.
Yeah.
And it just feels so weird that there's clearly people who don't have homes, yet everyone's walking around with a gadget that costs somewhere near £1,000 in their hands. And it makes me feel icky. And so I get exactly
weird.
What you mean.
End of days.
But I don't want. But I've talked.
Or maybe we're just like entering a new phase of consciousness or something. I don't know.
Or maybe we're just. Is it our anxiety?
I think it's just me overthinking it, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
But then in the same thought, I'm like, you know, the one thing I would love to do is just have like my chin, my jawline Botox, because apparently that gives you a really good jawline. I think Chrissy Appleton had it done. I think he posted about it.
Okay.
But I'm just like, I want to do that.
Mm.
And see, like, I can have that thought while still thinking, where have we gone as a society? So yes. I am both an observer and a symptom of our society.
Yes.
An observer and a result.
Yes. It's very... We need to up the mood. Because there's a lot to think about there, and I feel like it could get very dark. I mean, it is getting dark in this room,
actually. It's getting dark!
Sorry. Oh, yeah, there you go.
I just put on a light.
Really, you put on the light. You did the really clever thing.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm just going, oh, it's getting dark, and then was going to do nothing about it. And you're like, there's a light here. Right, we've talked about your books. We've talked about... Oh, we talked about pseudo-spirituality.
Oh, pseudo-spirituality, yeah.
What is that?
I kind of feel like there's a lot of kind of this pseudo-spiritual nonsense where people will just be like, I don't know, you can just do like a 3-day TAFE course like Kath Day Knight does and become a Reiki master and have healing hands.
The grade 4 Reiki master.
Essentially what I think it is... people can avoid deeper issues or delving into like painful areas in their life by kind of putting a facade of kind of like fake spirituality over their problems.
Mm.
And
I meditate, therefore I'm fine, kind of. Or I'm woke, therefore.
I'm woke, therefore I'm just gonna, you know, you might, I don't know, people might cut someone out of their lives, or they might just kind of refuse to compromise with someone because they're more evolved than someone else. Whereas I kind of feel like the most important thing for humanity right now is just compassion.
Mm.
And finding a way to bridge this insane gap that's come up between us all.
Mm-hmm. We obviously, RuPaul, Michelle Visage, What's the Tea? RuPaul said in a podcast ages ago, and I think they brought it up again in the most recent episode about how everyone is acting, every man for himself.
Yeah.
And RuPaul said something like, everyone is acting as if they are the lead actor in their own movie.
Mm.
And then I was thinking about the fact that we're all being encouraged to be more mindful and dig deeper. It's kind of emphasizing that even more. And
well,
yet...
actually, there was a really interesting thing that I was reading about, and I can't remember which book it was in. Anyway, that doesn't matter. There was a governor of California in the 90s or 80s or 70s or something. I don't know. I was half paying attention. And he was obsessed with the idea of individuality.
Mm-hmm.
And before then, it hadn't really been a thing. And so he put all of this, like, taxpayers' money into researching individuality and proving that it made people happier. The results actually came back saying the opposite. It makes us feel more isolated. It makes us more anxious. It makes us more like lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of manipulated the results to show that it was very positive.
Oh.
Individuality. And so that gave...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. and it gave rise to the whole individuality movement.
Whereas,
like, you know, I think the idea of just, like, living in a small hamlet and, you know, in rural France would have been quite fun. And if the plague came, then we all died, and that's fine, because we all died together.
But it's just, it goes against the whole nature thing of, it goes against... I was talking to a friend of mine who's in the police, and he was talking about the lack of community and the fact that there's a lack of role models.
And we're pack animals. Mm-hmm, we evolved as pack animals.
And I was about to talk alpha, beta, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that everyone's acting like an alpha.
Uh-huh.
And you need betas and omegas.
Yeah.
That might be a Teen Wolf reference, actually. Sorry.
You need your omega-3s, fish oils.
Serving fish. yes, you need all, like, that's the foundation. But if we're all acting like type A's,
Listen, I always say variety is the spice girl of life.
God, can you imagine if there had been a variety spice?
Variety spice. She's a bit of everything. I feel more ginger today.
Have you ever met a Spice Girl? You must have done.
No, I've met Kylie.
Oh, well, Epony Rye.
I wept afterwards. Oh my God, yeah, she is Eponine Ray.
She's Eponine Ray.
Yeah. I specifically said I didn't want you in leg of mutton sleeves. I haven't seen that episode in years and I still retain it. So weird.
I once chased Ms. Minogue down a corridor at the BBC during Children in Need. I really desperately wanted to get her to take a photo in this setup we'd done for the magazine I was working on at the time.
Oh, so you weren't just like being a nut?
No. I was running down the hallway and she had just come off stage and she was like surrounded by people and I sort of managed to get into the melange of all the people. And I was like, Kylie, come and have... And we'd done this disco-themed curtain. Like, it was like a glitter curtain and glitter balls and everything.
That's perfect for her.
Exactly. And I could just tell, wasn't feeling it. She was perfectly lovely, but her people were like, back off. And as I my body gave up the fight before my brain did.
Uh-huh.
So my body started to slow down and she was looking at me and she was, obviously, the distance between us is getting greater. And I just went, but it's disco. But Kylie, it's disco.
But it's disco and it needs you. That's yes. Basically your song.
That's everything I've learned from you. That is a great tune.
It is a great tune. It's so dramatic.
An anthem.
It is an anthem. It's a gay anthem,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
I don't care what it is. I freaking love that song. That makes me feel good. That's a great treadmill song.
See, I prefer quite slightly more. Actually, that is very dramatic.
I have to have song. Guitar solos, drum solos, intense
really?
Beat. Oh, yeah. I don't like...
Do you like Bon Jovi?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Always is... Always, always works on the treadmill.
What, like a bit of a shot through the heart?
No, not so...
What about It's My Life?
No. So it's not the Slippery When Wet album,
uh-huh.
And it's not that one. It's the one in between.
What, the one where he was like busy mates with Donatella Versace? In the 90s?
Probably. No, it was before Keep the Faith. It was before he did the haircut, and it was like, oh! It was when he was still frizzy and long-haired.
When he'd had a frizzy perm and extensions.
Like bad medicine. Young Guns era. Young Guns 2.
No. Oh, see, I'm not a big fan.
Of Bon Jovi?
No.
Get out of my house.
I'm so... Get out of my house!
Get off my land.
How come it's okay to quote TV shows and movies but not sing songs?
Because I weren't. I wasn't. I was just saying words that came to me in the moment.
So you can argue that you're just okay, yeah. What? So it's all just...
No, the royalties thing, I genuinely don't know. I've heard people use things. I just sort of always do it as a joke with people of like, don't sing that song.
Oh, okay. Just in case, like, the whole podcast just becomes me doing, like, a Britney Spears tribute album. Which I did threaten.
That I would listen to.
Actually, my orange muff looks a bit like a peach.
Call me by your name.
Well, it seems a bit dead.
Elio. Actually, no, that will make me cry. God, we've been bleeding on for hours, so... Thank you for coming on. And this is the thing.
Thank you for having me.
For talking about a serious topic, but injecting the humour...
It has, it's gotten me to where I am today.
But normalising it, and I'm...
And
I think somebody could look at your Instagram feed, and obviously I'll put the link to Tom in the show notes. Someone could look at your Instagram feed and think, well, his life is blinking perfect, and he's never had a dark thought in his life.
Mm. No, well, that's the... You know what? I wrote an article for Pop Sugar.
Let's put the link to them in
the
show.
Yeah, we can put the link to that in the show. And it was about, they asked me to do an article when it was made legal, like when same-sex marriage was made legal in Australia,
which is not that long ago.
No, not that long ago. Earlier this year.
Jeez.
And, it's bizarre. And so, the theme of the article was, say yes to love. And my initial thought was like romantic love to write about that. But then I was like, well, I don't really have much to say about it because... While I have experienced it, I'm by no means an authority, and I would feel quite fraudulent talking about it. So I was like, I think the most important thing is saying yes to loving yourself, and fostering and like working on self-love is way more important, and we need to focus more on that, and then romantic love will just flow from that. If you love yourself, you're free to love other people. again.
I mean,
to
this
bastardize.
Is like you're ripping off RuPaul.
I know.
Really hard.
There's not an original bone in my body. yeah, and so, but the thing is, like, the response I got from that, I probably got like 1,000 messages, which is crazy, just from that one article. And 70% of people who wrote to me said, I don't fall under the LGBTQI banner, but it felt like you were talking about me. It felt like you were writing my life story. And it was the most touching thing. And so that's why I think it's so important to be open about anything you've gone through, whether it's good or bad, because you never know who you're going to help. And so that's why I talk about it. That's why I inject humor into it, because at the end of the day, this too shall pass.
Yes.
You might be having a bad day, but it's a new day tomorrow. There's like, there are so many opportunities for us to kind of overcome whatever is facing us in that moment. And I firmly believe that the universe will never throw anything at you that you cannot overcome.
Mm.
You're strong enough.
You just have to believe it. And I also think...
That was two Cher references in Strong Enough and Believe.
Oh, I missed them completely.
I did not.
No, you didn't. although my friend Tom said that the ABBA album that she's done, you know, the tribute album.
Yeah.
He said that it should be called Gypsies, Tramps and Swedes, which I thought was brilliant.
That is brilliant!
It's amazing, but...
I quit! I resign! That's too amazing.
Well, you... but the thing about that is that I sometimes worried when I first started talking about anxiety and mental health and depression on this podcast. I didn't want it to define me. And I think when Nick Haste came on the show... I was like, I worried about talking about it for the first time. I thought that there'd be some sort of prejudice that some brands might not want to work with me because someone's got mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And it's not a debilitating thing and it doesn't define me, but it is something I work on.
Yeah.
But
you define you.
Yeah.
I define me.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of my story and it's a part that's shaped me, but it doesn't own me. It's so weird. I was thinking about this today.
Were you?
I was watching 5 Foot Two again.
Oh, the Lady Gaga documentary available on Netflix.
And I was like, you know what? Because I think she was worrying about releasing Joanne and were people going to feel bad about it. And I was like, listen, babe. I was thinking to myself, you know what? It's like someone needs to
what
tell
would
her.
I tell Gaga?
Yeah. Lady Gaga doesn't... Who Lady Gaga is, your creation, does not define you. You define Lady Gaga. And so I was like, oh, actually, that's quite... quite interesting. So I was like, you know, I get to define who I am. My story doesn't define me. I define myself from my, like, from all of my experiences and what I do. I don't know. I feel like I'm losing my point now.
No. I know what you mean. It's like, just because this is the chronology of your life, it doesn't mean that that's the future.
Yeah.
You could turn around tomorrow and say, I'm going to become a Britney Spears. No, that's Derek Berry. You're going to become a Britney Spears tribute act.
I could be better than Derek Barry. Imagine if tomorrow I actually did become a Britney Spears tribute act. How would I start? By shaving off my head. I know, I don't want to reference that. I take it back.
But I would like to talk to her about that, but I don't think that would ever happen. That would be my one question to Britney.
The horse
is
bolted.
Would you talk about that? I need to think
and she'd
about
just say, no.
I did meet her once.
Oh, I feel like you've told me, but I've forgotten it.
Yeah. No, I just met her, stood next to her and said, hi, I'm Emma. But I was so flummoxed, but she's taller than you think.
I thought Kylie was taller than I thought she would be.
I know, Kylie's quite dinky. Kylie's quite dinky. Britney's probably about 5'7".
Yeah.
I was expecting her to be 5'4". Anyway, relevant.
Oh.
I walked over and I was suddenly like, without wanting to sound ridiculous, it's Britney, bitch. My brain couldn't compute.
It's so bizarre.
And so I said the words... I wanted to say the word hello, but my brain said casual, Emma, casual. So I wanted to say hi, and what came out was, hello!
So you sounded really Australian.
Hello!
Hello!
But it came out in kind of like, you know, my whistle, my Mariah Carey whistle, because it wasn't like, hello, it was, hello! It was really weird.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Thankfully, she was just so concentrating on the camera, she was like smiling and being really nice. I don't think she was actually listening to what I said.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd have to pick and choose your moments of full engagement when there are that many people in your world.
Mm. Yes,
if
yes,
that
yes,
makes
yes,
sense.
Yes, 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 yes.
And everyone I know who's worked with her closely says that she's just the sweetest little girl.
Yeah.
Like such a sweet human being.
It's boundaries, and we've talked about this before. It's about whatever situation you're in, you have to have professional boundaries. And if you're a people pleaser,
personal,
it can be very,
oh my
very
God,
hard.
Massive for me. Like the two biggest learnings of my life, I would say, are three biggest learnings of my life are learning boundaries,
mm-hmm.
because I have been a people pleaser as long as I can remember. The second one is you don't need to be so hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is that dogs don't lay eggs. Because I always thought they did.
But you grew up in a pet hotel. How could you honestly think that?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
Did you, as a child, see an egg near a dog?
Well, potentially. We had a chicken coop.
I think that solved the problem. That's what happened. I mean, it doesn't take Sigmund Freud to figure it out. You had dogs.
I was just awfully confused. I'm so sorry.
I think that's a perfect place upon which to end the three things that you've learned.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
No,
it's been
you.
An absolute plaisir.
Next week, Emma Gunn Show will resume to non-Australian accent from me. Because I just can't not. Because I've watched Kath and Kim recently and you're Australian.
Sorry, I was looking at the necklace.
Oh, I thought you were looking at my boobs.
No.
Yeah, you know it says Arnie.
I thought it was a By Charlotte necklace for a moment.
No.
But it's not.
It's
a heart.
It's a heart-shaped locket that I had engraved with Arnie for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, that's not weird.
I've talked about it many times in this podcast. If I haven't told you before, I think it's high time I bought you a glass of wine.
Oh, thank you.
And told you the Arnie Schwarzenegger
story.
Yes. I call him Arnie. Tom, come back anytime. You're so welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Before you go, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening. And if you are enjoying this episode, if you did enjoy Wonderful Tom on this podcast, why not head over to wherever you listen, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Acast, or other streaming services. Why not click that subscribe button so you never miss an episode? And if you have enjoyed this episode, I would be so delighted if you could leave a 5-star review and maybe a sentence or two about what you enjoyed. Don't forget, all of the links will be in the show notes, which are available on emmaguns.com, Acast, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else that you might listen. And if you want to get in touch with me, it is super easy. Just email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or slip into my DMs on Twitter and Instagram, where I'm at Emma Gunns. And if you want to have a bigger conversation with other listeners of the podcast, why not join the closed Facebook group? The link to join will be in the show notes. And I will approve you, and you can see all of the wonderful conversations we're having over there. Thank you again for listening. It's been a delight to have you, and I will see you on the next one.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.